The discussion tonight, as we saw, will be about Germany and returning to Germany and taking part in German products for two reasons. One, there's two Ramazim in the Parsha. We'll start with one and we'll end with one at the end of the Parsha. But in addition, it's been in the news recently about uptick in anti-Semitism in Germany, people wearing yarmulkes in the street, things like that. It's been something that has been on people's minds. So let's see what the Poskim have said in response to the atrocities of the Holocaust and how one relates Alpi Halacha and also Machshava to returning to the land of Germany. First, let's begin with the concept of a cheirem, that you make a cheirem on a community regarding things they can and cannot do. We're not talking about a cheirem like you put somebody in cheirem because they wrote a book you don't like. We're talking about that the community makes a takana, a rule, that people should or should not do certain things. The Torah says at the end of the Parsha, certainly psukim-wise and pshat-wise, a very difficult thing. If you're not familiar with the laws of erchin and values of things going into kachim, it's not an easy thing when it comes to the Rashi. So the pasuk says, "Kol cheir masher yicharem mina adam lo yipadem mos yumas." It's a very confusing pasuk. Any cheirim that a person makes for a person and he doesn't redeem it, he will surely die. What's going on over here? So we have find three explanations. The first is Rashi. Rashi explains based on the Toras Kohanim, Hayot se liyaharig v'omer echad archilanu. A person is going out to be killed. He's a dead man walking. He's up for capital punishment. And someone says that he's going to declare his value given to the Beis HaMikdash. This is what we call erchin. A person is allowed to declare as a gift to the Beis HaMikdash the value of what he would be sold for about on the slave market at that time. And lo amar klum, the person who makes such a value for himself to get dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash is meaningless. Harei holech l'maves, he's going to die. Lefichach lo yipada ein lo lo damim v'lo erech. He has no blood, he has no value. A person who is in the midst of going towards a capital punishment cannot declare the value of their life to give to the Beis HaMikdash because their life has no value because in a few minutes they will be killed. This is the understanding of Rashi. The Gemara in Erchin explains, it's a long Gemara, so we'll just say it outside, that this pasuk is referring to a person who's on the way to be executed and he offers a plea bargain with the Sanhedrin in order to remove the death penalty. He says, let's work something out. You know, I hear the yeshiva needs some extra funds. I'll help out with the building committee, and you let me off of this death penalty. So this, the Torah says, lo yipadeh, he has no pidyon, he has no way to redeem himself. You may not pay yourself out of capital punishment, and the Sanhedrin cannot remove it. What we care about tonight is the Ramban. The Ramban has a totally different understanding. He explains that a Beis Din is allowed to create a cheirem and make something usur, and any violation of this cheirem, of this proclamation by the Beis Din, the death penalty is applied to such a person who violates it. Look at the Ramban. L'kach ani omer ki min ha-kasuv hazeh yetze lahem ha-din. We see from this pasuk the law, hazeh shekol melech b'Yisrael o Sanhedrin gedola, that any king or any Sanhedrin b'mamad kal Yisrael in the history of the Jewish people, sheyesh lahem reshus b'mishpatim, that they have the right to judge and to pass law, if they make a cheirem for a city, or any matter, however, alav chayv misa. If they make a law, a cheirem, a person, the community may not do this. They must do that. They cannot go there. They cannot do this. Whatever it is, if you violate the cheirem that is put out by the Beis Din, by the Sanhedrin, and the king, you are chayv misa. So says the Ramban. This is the concept of what we call charamei tzibor. That you can put a cheirem, a law, a right, on the tzibor. This is different than a cheirem on an individual, like we said before. This is what we call charamei tzibor. So with this Ramban, he actually explains a number of strange patches in Tanakh. The most jarring example is the case of Yonasan and Shaul. Shaul made a rule that no one can eat. He made a cheirem that nobody can eat at a certain time during the war. And Yonasan didn't know about this cheirem. And he went and he partook of the Ya'aros Dvash. He went and took of the honeycombs, as the Navi tells us. And Shaul found out and he wanted to kill his own son because he did something he wasn't supposed to do. And the people said, no, he didn't know about it. He wasn't there when the cheirem was made. Therefore, you should spare his life. So how is that okay? You're going to kill your son because he ate when you told him not to eat? It's a little extreme. So the Ramban explains, no. A cheirem was made by the king. If you violate the cheirem, you're chayim misa. This is the law, so says the Ramban. Or the chayim as we applied to Yericho, right? Yehoshua said nobody can take from the spoils of Yericho. Achan took, he was chayim misa. What's he chayim misa for? Where does it say in the Torah that if you take from the spoils of war, that you're chayim misa? How could he come up with that? The answer is, says the Ramban, a chayim. A chayim was made on the people not to do a certain thing. This is what the Ramban says. Comes the Chassam Sofer in the Tshuvos in Arachayim Esim Reishas. This is a Tshuva to the Maritz Chias. The Maritz Chias had sent his work, the Torah and Nevi'im, to the Chassam Sofer, and he wanted the Chassam Sofer to make comments. So the Chassam Sofer responded with a few of his aros on the work. And the Chassam Sofer says that the way this works is based on the principle of Mori B'malchus Chayv Misa. If you don't listen to the king or the Sanhedrin, you are rebelling against the courts and the king, and therefore you are Chayv Misa. So the Chassam Sofer writes as follows. He says, Aval Shiyah Rishai La'anosh V'la'anos Nefesh Mikol Shekin La'anis Minal. But where do we get this idea that you can kill the person from? It's very strange. A person goes against the proclamation, you can go and kill a person. Rak b'nei Yisrael amru li'oshua kalisha shir yimares picha yumas rak chazak v'yamats. So he says, we find at least an instant hint in the Navi, right? The Navi tells us that Yehoshua said, or he was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kalisha Shir Yimares, whoever goes against your word can be killed. V'harei kasvi Yehoshua b'sifro al-pi Hashem Yisparach k'mavor v'avabasra daf yidal v'mabez Yehoshua kasav sifro. Yehoshua wrote sifro Yehoshua. So we see at least comes from Yehoshua. V'im kein adin din emes. So we're not saying that it's not a law. The idea of chayrim is a real thing. Nobody's questioning us. But the Chassam Sofer wants to know, Achkusha ein Navi Rishai Lechadesh, Zeu Kusha Shitzarachin Gadol. Where did Yehoshua get this idea from? That he can make laws and whoever doesn't follow them, they're Chayiv Misa. V'lo Matzasi lo Peser Kiim, Mashakasiv Ramban v'Parshas B'chukosai. Right, the Chassam Sofer is familiar with the principle that every single thing has to be hinted to somewhere in the Torah. The Navi can't simply come with whatever he wants. And therefore, he quotes our Ramban. V'chein b'kuntrish mishpatei acherim, showed the Ramban wrote a hard-to-find work called Mishpatei HaCherem, which he discusses this as well. V'dehadechsiv, kol cherem asher yecharem min ha'adam lo yipadem, v'osimas har pasuk in the parsha, ve'ein bo peirush al pi pshuto. Again, it's a very difficult pasuk. We already gave three explanations. So the Chassam Sofer says, kol nasi sh'b'yisrael mikol sh'in kol yisrael, sh'maskimu l'hecharem davar over al-charam chayv misa. Our pasuk in the parsha is the source in the Torah, that the beistin or the king can make a cherem, and if you don't listen to it, one would be chayv misa. The Maritz Chias disagrees with all this. This is why the Chassam Sofer is writing. The Maritz Chias wants to say that the concept of Morid B'malchus chayv misa is because he's a rodef. You're bringing down the kingdom. You're attacking the king by not listening, and therefore that's why he's chayv misa.
So Yeshua is the general.
Correct, 100%.
He's got the street name Yerushalayim is the general's area.
So the Maritz Chias comes from a different perspective. But we don't care about the Maritz Chias tonight. We care about the Chassam Sofer and the Ramban. Coming now to our days. Can we make a cherem nowadays after the period of Chazal? We see in Chazal, they made cheremim on communities in different laws. But can one make a cherem nowadays? Now the Ramban said, Sanhedrin, Melech. Do we apply this to our system? What we want to turn to now is a fascinating tshuva from the Kol Mevaser of Meshulam Roth, who was a Rav in Europe and then in Eretz Yisrael, who was very involved in the Mizrahi, the founding of the state, and he has a tshuva in Chelek Aleph and Siman Yud Gimel. He was asked the following question. Can we make a cherem against the Jews going back to Germany? There was a group of Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael who wanted to make a cherem, an official proclamation on behalf of Klal Yisrael, that no Jew should return to Germany.
There is a precedent that made a cherem to go back to Spain.
We'll discuss the cherem of Spain within our conversation. We'll discuss that. He'll touch on that as well. So from the Meshulam Roth and the Kol Mevaser brings two major discussions. We'll go through each one on its own. The first one is as follows. He says that nowadays, no body of the Jewish people has the power to make such a cherem on travel for the Jewish people. There is nobody who can do this. We don't have the power anymore. That's issue number one. He cites the rush in Shabbos and in Maseches Nida. He says that after the Gemara was completed, there's no rabbinic authority who can make such a cherem. It's only Bizman, Shas, Mishnah, and Gemara, but afterwards we can't do it anymore. We'll get to Rabbeinu Gershom as well. We'll discuss all the highlights. Now, the Mishnah Lamelech in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, so he says that the Koach ascended into the period of the Gaonim. He says it wasn't only in Shas, it was also the period of the Gaonim as well. The Rambam in his Hakdama to the Mishnah Torah says that after Avinu and Rav Ashi, there is no Beis Din that can make takanos for Klal Yisrael, since we became scattered over the world. There's no unified location to bring us together, and therefore the power of reaching a Cherem doesn't exist anymore. So says the Rambam. There's a tshuva of the Rivash. The Rivash writes in Siman Reish Ayin Aleph, and the Kol Mevaser discusses the tshuva at length, and he adds that only the Sanhedrin can impose a takanos on Klal Yisrael, but individual Rabbanim cannot do such a thing. And this was written in response to the Maharam HaLevi. The Maharam HaLevi in Vienna made a gzeira. So the Rivash wrote back to him and said, you don't have the right to make gzeiras anymore for Klal Yisrael. Therefore, he says, it's not possible for Rabbani Eretz Yisrael to impose a universal ban on all of Klal Yisrael to not go back to Germany. They don't have the power to do that. They don't have the reshus to make such a decision. And he continues, what about the Cherem of Rabbeinu Gershom? How did that work? So he says, it wasn't for all of Klal Yisrael. It wasn't for the Sephardim. It was only for the Ashkenazim. And therefore, it's not the same thing. We called the Cherem of Rabbeinu Gershom, but it's not a Cherem in the classical sense that it applies to everyone. It was for one small group of Jews, but there were many Jews that were not under the Cherem of Rabbeinu Gershom at that time. The Tshuvas Chacham Sofer and Rechaim Sfim Memalev says that no rabbi can make a gzeira on another community if there's already a rabbi there. So if they already have a Mor D'Asra, how can you know, the Jews in Amsterdam listen to some rabbi, somebody else, who made a gzeira? They have a rabbi. You don't have the right when they already have a rav in charge of them. And this supports the idea in part one that there is no such possibility of making such a cherem to not go back to Germany, bisman hazem. Two, there's a gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Lamed Vav and Aleph that says, "In gozrin gzeira al hatzibur ela im kein rov tzibur yichol lamod bo." We do not make a gzeira. We do not put a law on top of the community unless the majority of the tzibur can withstand such a gzeira. Now, here's the question about this. What's the reason behind this? What's the lumdus behind this rule that you don't make a gzeira if the tzibur is unable to withstand the gzeira? Does that mean that you're not supposed to make such a takana, but if you do, b'diavad still stands? Or does it mean that if they make such a gzeira, and we see that the tzibur is unable to do it, then automatically it is batel and doesn't stand? That's the machlokus amongst the Rishonim. Tosus there in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah says the takana is still valid. They shouldn't have made such a gzeira, but it's still a good takana, and you need another basin to come and remove it if you don't want to keep the takana anymore. That's the opinion of Tosus. The Rambam in Hilchos Mamre in Perek Vav says the takana is invalid if the tzibur cannot stand for it. And this is based on Yerushalmi there in Avodah Zarah. The Yerushalmi, listen to the lesson of the Yerushalmi. Shekol gzeira shebeisin gozrin ve'ein rov tzibur mekab maleim ein gzeira. If they make a gzeira and they're not mekabel the gzeira, they don't accept the ruling of the cherem, it is not a gzeira in the first place. So we see that the Rambam and the Yerushalmi hold that if they make such a gzeira, it's batel from the beginning. It doesn't even work if they're not mekabel the gzeira. So regardless, he says, to impose a cherem on going to Germany is a gzeira that the tzibur can't withstand. It's not feasible. Thousands of Jews were already still living in Germany at that time. People owned property there. People were making claims in Germany. How are you going to tell them to walk away and you can never go back to Germany ever again? It's for many people, it was an integral part of their life. You're going to tell them you can't be there, everybody has to pick up and move, and you can't live in Germany? It would throw the whole Jewish world in Europe into a tizzy. What would be with that? And therefore, he says, such a gzeira cannot be enacted because it would not be feasible for the Jewish people to accomplish what they need to accomplish if we made such a cherem to not go back to Germany. And then he says, well, what about the ban on going back to Mitzrayim? We have such an idea in the Torah that we can't go to a certain place. So what about that? So the Torah in Parshas B'Shalach says, Ki asher ra'isim es Mitzrayim hayom, lo sifu l'ros amod ad olam. You saw Mitzrayim today, you should never go back and see it again. The Yushalmi in Sukkah and the Mechilta cites Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who says that it's a real iser not to go back to Mitzrayim. It appears in Parshas B'Shalach, as we said, Parshas Mishpatim, Parshas Kisavo. There's a famous legend about the Rambam. He would sign his letters. Rambam, who's violating three Yisurim every single day, Rav Shilat writes in his collection of the Rambam's letters that there's no source of the Rambam ever doing such a thing like that. And we can discuss the Rambam's issue living in Mitzrayim a separate time, but let's just discuss the general issue of Mitzrayim and the Jewish people. On top of that, The Gemara in Sukkah Nun Aleph says that there was a very prominent Jewish community in Alexandria. But the Gemara then says, why was the community destroyed? Because they weren't supposed to live in Alexandria. So the Gemara is well aware that there were people living there, and they should not have been living there. So let's go through the reasons as to why there was always a Jewish community in Mitzrayim, and all the different reasons given by the Rishonim and the Poskim as to why we're not so careful about these three psukim in the Torah. Rabbeinu Bachya says the mitzvah is only for a certain amount of time, and since Mitzrayim is not as disgusting as it once was, so therefore the Isser doesn't apply anymore, and the Gemara in Sukkah clearly goes against this, because the Gemara in Sukkah has no issue with any time period. But that's the Shita of Rabbeinu Bachya. That was then, but not now. The Torah says, for example, you cannot marry a Mitzri until the third generation, right? A Mitzri can't come in until three generations after converting. So the Gemara in Yevamos Ayin Vav says that there was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva who was a Mitzri. And he married a Mitzri woman who also converted to Judaism. So Tosas asks, why did they practice this halachos in the days of Sinai? Why was Rabbi Akiva's Talmud so makbid that he couldn't marry a Jew? He had to marry a convert who came from Mitzrayim. So the ancient Egyptians were long gone, says Tosas. Everyone was mixed up by Sancheirev. At that point, you could be from anywhere. Who knows that you descend, you know, from Paro and everybody else. In fact, the Gemara in Brachos says clearly that someone who came from Ammon was allowed to marry to the Jewish people in the days of the Sinai because Ammon doesn't exist anymore. They're all mixed up and long gone. So Tosas answers that this Mitzri you converted was wrong. He was being machmir, he made a mistake. The simple thing is Rabbi Akiva Salma didn't have to marry a convert, and he could have married whoever he wanted to, and it was a chumrah unnecessary to keep. And then he quotes the Bahag who says that the Mitzrim are still considered part of the ancient Mitzrayim that we have, and we cannot marry them until the third generation, because the Navi Yecheskel says that Egypt will return from their galus. So since Yecheskel promised Mitzrayim that they would remain intact, therefore the Isser to marry into Mitzri, even though for a Jew, still exists. And both these sheets are brought in Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezer when it comes to marrying Mitzri. So based on this Tosus, we can discuss whether the Isser is a din on the borders of Mitzrayim. Is that the issue? Whoever comes from the geographical place that we call Mitzrayim? Or is it a din on the people who live in Mitzrayim? So if it's based on the people, then we can have a discussion about being lenient about our Isser, because who knows about the people? It could have been thousands of years between what happened. And this is the sheet of the Chazon Ish. However, the Gemara in Sukkah is still an issue, right? Because that was after the days of Sancheirev. And other sheets as well. The Ritva and Yuma says that the nationality issue was solved between the times of Alexander and today, and therefore the Ritva says no issue anymore. The Ritva then adds that the Isra only applies when the Jewish people are settled in Eretz Yisrael. The whole problem of going to the tribe is only when the Jewish people are settled and living in the land of Israel. However, since we are in Galus, he says, there's no Isser. So Rav Hirsch in his Perush on the Chumash says that it's embarrassing to go to Mitzrayim when you have the Jewish state. What a chutzpah! We had Kadosh Baruch Hu schlepped us out of Mitzrayim, and now you're going there when you have Eretz Yisrael right there? It's not nice. It's a disgusting thing. You have Eretz Yisrael and you have control of Eretz Yisrael. So according to this Ritva, we would have a problem specifically Bizman HaZeh, where we have Eretz Yisrael and we have control, and it would seem to be a chutzpah to go to Mitzrayim.
Is that to live there, yeah, or just to visit?
Right. That's also a discussion as well. Visiting, certainly there's more room to be lenient amongst the poskim. Living definitely is the issue. The Yoreim and Simon Shin Tes says the Isser is only to go from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim. That's the issue. If you want to come from America to Mitzrayim, that's fine. The whole problem is going from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim, because it says Baderech Hazeh. So if you only go a different way, but you don't go Baderech Hazeh, the same way they came out of Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim, then it's fine.
So people from Eretz Yisrael a different route altogether.
So Yosef Shaul Nathanson, the Shaul Lameshiv, writes in his Divrei Shaul and Parshas Maaseh, which goes through the orders of the travels of Bnei Yisrael, he says that our key things that according to Yoreim, you have to retrace the exact steps that they came out of Mitzrayim. And therefore, says the Divrei Shaul, that's why the Torah tells us all of the steps in Parshas Maaseh. What's the purpose of all of that? What, I need to know the whole map? What, so we can go on a tour of how Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim? What's the whole purpose? So he says the whole purpose is so that you should know what you can't do to go back in the reverse order back to Mitzrayim from Eretz Yisrael. The last reason is the Maisa Ilfus and Yavamos and the Mordechai. He says the Isser is on all of Klal Yisrael together. Meaning if all Klal Yisrael go back to the Mitzrayim, that's a Ram. But for individuals, that's okay. Now, the Rambam doesn't bring any of these leniencies in Hilchos Malachim Parakei, but he does cite the Yushami and Sanhedrin, which says that the Isser is to live there, but to visit or do business, says the Rambam, is not a problem. And in fact, we know that Yaakov's sons told Paro what? We're only here to do business. We're here to do what we have to do, but we have no intention of setting up shop for a long time. The Sefer HaChinuch says the mitzvah applies at all times, but the Tzitzel Yezer and Chelek Yodalson and Pei Vav says that the reason why this is not brought anywhere in Shulchan Aruch is because the Shulchan Aruch holds it doesn't apply nowadays. That's what the Tzitzel Yezer says. Why is this should be somewhere in Shulchan Aruch? Why is it not? Because it's not halacha lemaisa, according to the Mechaber, and therefore, there's no problem going back to the Mitzrayim. What was the point of all this? We see that the Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us three psukim, a mitzvah that was clearly black and white, not to go back to Mitzrayim, and could we handle it? No. We couldn't handle this halacha, and the Mefarshim and the Posen had to come up with all these different types of explanations to explain why Bnei Yisrael were still ending up in Mitzrayim, for all these different types of etayim. If we can't follow the Torah, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu says not to be Mitzrayim, says the Kol Mevaser, how are we supposed to follow a gzeirah made by a bunch of Rabbanim not to go back to Germany? If we can't handle Mitzrayim, how are we going to deal with Germany? And what about Spain, right? And what about Spain? So there is a lot of literature about this famous chera made not to go back to Spain. In fact, says the Kol Mevaser, there's no such chera. It doesn't exist. It's not a real thing. If you want to see all of the Mar Makomos, Professor Mark Shapiro has an essay he wrote in 1989 in an academic journal called Sefarad, called the Cherem on Spain History and Halacha, and he brings all the Mar Makomos from the Minchas Alazar and all the different poskim who discuss this thing. In fact, I don't know if this is an article, but I remember hearing that the last name Toledano, which is a Sephardic last name, comes from the word Toled, Toledo, no. That they said, we're never going to go back to Toledo, which was in Spain. That's where the name Toledano comes from. Toledo, no. They would never return back to that time. Now, there was supposedly also a cherem, if we're discussing cheremim, on the town of York in England. During the days of the Baliatosis, there was a terrible, terrible massacre, a terrible pogrom in the town of York. And Jews did not go back to York. Jews weren't in England for hundreds of years. But on top of that, Jews did not go back to York for hundreds of years as well. I remember hearing from someone that Rav Leib Gurvitz, who was the Rosh Yeshiva in Gateshead, whenever he would take the train from the south of England back up north to Gateshead, the train always went through York. And if he was with someone, he would always ask them, if I fall asleep when we get to York, please wake me up. Because I don't want to sleep while in the town of York. Because it could be a violation, he felt, of the cherem, sleeping in the city, even while he was traveling through as well. For other cheremim in places, there are discussions about cheremim in Italy, cheremim not going back to Ukraine, and there's also big discussion regarding trips to Poland, right? So they have many people go on trips to Poland nowadays. So there's two articles of Neria Gutel, who is a rabbi in Eretz Yisrael, writes in the Kovet Shmeisen in 118, 117. He discusses whether it's appropriate to have things like March of the Living and things like that. And then Shlomo Duchovsky, who's a great posek and an author of Sfarim in Eretz Yisrael, and the Chelek of Tchumen, Chaf 20, he also discusses the propriety of going on these trips that go back to Poland and places like that. And he says that one's allowed to be Eretz Yisrael for this because of the chinuch involved and because it's educational too, you know, people should know about what happened. So that is the conclusion of the Tshuvas Kol Mevaser. He brings two reasons why you cannot make a cherem not go back to Germany. One, because we can't make cherem anymore like this. And the second reason is because it's not possible. It's not going to be feasible for the Tzibur to withstand such a gzeirah and not go back to Germany in any form. Let's turn to the last part, which is the issue of buying German products and things like that. So there is an article by Rabbi Chaim Rappaport, who's the Chabad Shliach in London, in one of the Chabad journals, he discusses this very, very bekitzer. He just brings two mar makomos that balance each other. One is the Rav Binyamin Zilber in the Osnid Baru, Rav Binyamin Zilber of Bnei Brak and Chelik Beis in Siman Ayin Zan. I forgot to put the chubi on the sheet, but I'll read to you what he writes. He says, Ein shum iser v'cherem l'knos totzaros germani yosem ishagayim. He says, there's no iser to buy a German product more than any other nationality. And says Rabbi Yamin Zilber, and what about the chayrim against Spain? He says, Ein chal chayrim al Germania. Gam lefi ha'omrim sheish chayrim al Sfar. He says, even if you want to tell me there's a chayrim against Spain, a chayrim haisa be'ikar shol ligorsham. That's about living there. Ha'kom lepi gzeres hashmadu shahar be'lo amdun b'nisayim. Because of what they did there in that land. Who's going to go and make a new Torah? Sheish v'zeh mitzvah mechias amalek ki ayavo shilo yanela mitanu mihu zeh amalek amitis. Now this touches upon another issue. We gave a shir on this a couple of years ago about are the Nazis and Germany considered amalek al pi halacha? And Rabbi Salvechik's opinion, the footnote in Kol Dedito Fake, and other shitas regarding do they have a status of amalek? And if they have a status of amalek, there's an isser to get hana from the property of amalek. There's a cherem on the property of Amalek, you can't get Hana, and that would be applicable nowadays with taking reparations. This is a big fight in Eretz Yisrael in the 50s, taking reparations, and this was a big discussion. So we're not going to discuss the issue of whether Germany is Amalek, and that has an issue nowadays. He says, L'chein yir she'ein makom l'hachmir b'zeh mipnei, sh'om she'ish b'zeh inyan matzfoni kevin she'zeh gorm l'ashchiach, ki'asher she'ver and he goes on to say, he says, you can't make new missos. You can't go and say that it's usher to buy German products. You don't want to? That's up to you. But it can't be there's a problem, an inherent halachic issue. On the other hand, so Rabbi Rappaport quotes Rav Yochanan Sofer, who's the Rav of Erloi, in the Divrei Torah, in Gilin Kuf Samach Beis, and he said that Zachar Sasher Asalach HaMalek, and he says there's a chayim on them. He says, Ani choshiv she'oso tzivoy efshe lilmod belishim safik v'chiv gamar l'skoros ha'germanim. You have to remember what they did. There should be a cherem against German products. You shouldn't use anything made in Germany. That's the opinion of the Rav of Erloi. Rosh Shlomo Avinyar writes in his Shela Shlomo and Chelik Beis and Siman Tachnan Beis. So he says it's not usser, but he thinks it's proper to avoid products. He says, I can't tell you it's usser. There's no real cherem, but he thinks it's a nice thing if you can avoid them. And then regarding cars, which I know people get very stuck on German cars, so I saw in the Sefer Gedulas Pinchas. Gedulas Pinchas is a collection of Divrei Torah and ideas from Pinchas Hirschsprung, who was the famed Rav in Montreal. So he records that there was a doctor who drove Rabbi Hirschsprung once a week back and forth to the Beis Medrash. So he once told Rabbi Hirschsprung, I want to let you know, I'm thinking about getting a new car. So Rabbi Hirschsprung turned to the doctor and said, that's wonderful, but I'm letting you know, if you get a Mercedes, I'll find somebody else to drive me. I won't be driven in a German car. And that was his own personal opinion. There's a sefer called Hashakdan. It's a three-volume sefer. It's a biography of Rav Yashiv. I think the first two volumes were actually written when he was alive. It's very intensive. He goes into a lot of detail, interviews the family, all types of interesting things. So in Chelik Beis, on page 90, he records that Rav Eliyahu Gitman was a famous sofer in Eretz Yisrael. So he was writing his sefer called Zichron Eliyahu, and he went to Rav Yashiv with the following shaila. He says, the machines that make the sirtut, that make the indented lines on the tefillin of the Sefer Torah, so those computerized machines are all made in Germany. They're all German machines. So he asked Rav Yashiv, I want to make the halacha, I want to write in the sefer, that you should only buy tefillin where they have sirtut biyad. Where the sirtut, where the engraving lines on the tefillin of the Sefer Torah is done by hand, not with machines. Because it's not proper to use the machine that is made in Germany. So Yashiv said to him, and why are they any worse? Why are they any better than the Goyim? Meaning, why any other nation? What's the big deal? So Rabbi Gitman expressed the difference. So Germany, the Holocaust, you know, the memory of the Jewish people, it's what they did. So Yashiv turned to him and said, he said, I hear what you're saying, that your hergish, your feeling may be al pi halacha. But he said, how long is that practical to not use their products? He says, what are you going to do? You're going to make every single sofer go crazy and make them do everything biyad, and people are going to have to pay much more money for tefillin because you don't want to use a German computer that makes lines on scrolls. He says, that's not a feasible thing. He says, I hear what you're saying, but you also have to be normal and practical when it comes to these things as well. So I want to conclude with actually the opening remark of the Kol Mevaser to the Shuva. Listen to what Rav Meshulam Roth writes. He says, Emna mitzad hashkafa ha-polatit. He says, regarding a political view, ha-hegyonit, regarding logic, v'ha-musarit, from a Musar perspective, so dekes ma'od hatzazu. It's a very good thing. V'ein shim safek shel achar maaseh hazva'ot v'ashmados, after all the terrible destruction, shalalu lanu, that happened to us, hagermanim, caused by the cruel Germans, no ra shelo haisa kamosa miyamos olam. Nothing like this ever happened. Gam belo hachrazas harabanim. Even if there was no cherem. Kol yehudi yimana asmo v'yalibo, nogfo melahatsig kafraglo aladmasam hatmeya. Any Jew's heart should skip a beat and think twice before they put their foot back on German land, before they go back there.
So should point just as much to, if you could say the death rates during the 1933 to 45 in Europe, the greatest concerns, much different. Like, for example, in Denmark, essentially nothing. In other countries,
true. He's probably referring more to the
Poland, Lithuania, were much bigger.
He's probably reflecting more on the nation where it originated from. But I just want to draw out, there's a famous line. There's a famous line of the Meshech Chachma at the end here of the Tochacha, where he says that in his day, the Jews of Berlin said, Yerushalayim, Berlin is our Yerushalayim. There's no need for anything else. So we have such a a mixed emotional feeling about Germany and that place, because we have such a clear history and a beautiful history of Chachmei Ashkenaz, the old communities there, and people want to go back and see and learn for chinuch purposes and learn about their history and see what was. But at the same time, there's this feeling of sadness and pain over what occurred there. And therefore, at the end of the day, we see the halacha is clear that we cannot make new laws, and we cannot say that it's us to buy German or it's us to go to Germany. And each person has to decide for themselves, what they feel to be appropriate in their own hashkafa, their own views, and what makes them comfortable in remembering their own history.